Elementary school kids in the Tantramar brought home a special fuzzy friend this week. The Tantramar COVID-19 Task Force brought comfort bears to the classroom for all students grade 4 and under to enjoy. The bears came with a little card attached to them, which explains a simple breathing exercise that helps calm the nervous system when stressed. Two coordinators of the project and members of the COVID-19 Task Force, Carol DeSiqua and Margaret Tusking, say that the bears are meant to address the extreme stress kids have been under this past year.
But there was a particular recognition of children. I was after Christmas, and if you remember, we had to go into the red zone for our region. There was the American election. There was a lot of people pulling out their hair about what's going on in the world. And we were hearing accounts from the professionals in our group saying that particularly young children in families seemed to be experiencing distress. And we imagined how frustrating it would be to be a teacher who would normally get down at the level of a student face-to-face and offer comfort, and how challenging that would be if you're wearing a mask, you have to keep a distance. How can our teaching professionals and our education system provide those other layers of immeasurable comfort and guidance to children during this difficult context? So in that, one of our meetings, we said, gosh, what could we do that would support teachers and also support young students who may have difficulty coping? And one of our members came up with the idea, wouldn't it be nice if there were just something physical that children could hold for comfort? And then we were recalling different strategies that we can use with young children to help build resilient skills. I'm a mental health first aid trainer, and there is a breathing exercise that works whether you're 2 or 92. Around developing self-regulation and calming if you're anxious or upset. And it's simply slow breathing in and holding and slow breathing out. And if you're in a time of distress and you allow yourself some time to do that kind of breathing, it can really calm down. We know that a lot of youth do not have good resilience strategies.
Kids, says Tusking, are one of the most impacted demographics when it comes to the pandemic. Between the major disruptions to the routine, social lives, and care, children are experiencing incredible stress and might not know how to process it.
By the time we're older, we've developed a lot of capacity and skills for mental resilience. It's the youth and the children who are having the hardest time during the pandemic. So retrospectively, we think it was a really good idea that we came up with this project where we would get teddy bears for every child from grade 4 and lower. And on the back of that little bear, like a backpack, would be a mental health resilience strategy that they could use in the shape of a triangle. There'd be a little badge where these little fingers could trace along the edge. Along one edge, you breathe in. Along the next edge, you hold, and on the third edge, you exhale. I don't know, Meg, if practicing that is causing you to feel calm, even just imagining it. I know when I teach mental health first aid, when we practice that in a group, the whole energy of the room changes. It's a technique that we can carry through our life, and we are introducing it to young children this year, hopefully for long-term benefit.
What children are going through during this pandemic is trauma, which will need to be addressed even after vaccines are administered.
And if you spent any amount of time with anyone who went through World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Bosnia, you name it, you understand that we need to ensure, just like we did with our veterans, that we are much more aware of, you know, the PTSD and the trauma. So instead of now having kind of small identifiable groups easily identifiable groups who have been through trauma and how it affects their mental health and their life, we're now going back to 1918, where we have, like you said, like an entire generations, especially younger ones, who are going to remember and live through trauma based on what we've gone through.
Tuesking went on to say that during and after this pandemic, there needs to be ongoing support for families in order for children to thrive.
You know, I'm old enough to remember my grandmother talking about the Spanish flu pandemic 100 years ago and the people she lost. And I know that that generation continued to live well and produced healthy families. It is possible for us as a society to grieve together and recover. We need to be aware of that and find space for that, I believe. I think we need to learn how to do that as a society again. Perhaps a few generations ago, there were more people who attended church. They might have had different community relationships than we have now. We have a very individualistic society. But the piece when you started asking that question, Meg, that resonated for me is, if we don't support the families, the children will not do well. Our best investment is supporting families as a whole, empowering and encouraging and enabling parents to really parent through this. That is what strengthens children. There's nothing out there that has ever proven that putting children into a system or taking them outside of a family unit does anything to improve the outcome for children. Our best investment is helping families to stay together and get through things together. So I believe the approach has to be a family-based approach for children, and that is what will carry the children through.
On the theme of supporting families, De Stequa says it's important for parents to care for themselves as well as their children.
It's just like when you're about ready to take off on the plane and they tell you to put, you know, if the oxygen mask drops, to put it on yourself first and then help your child put theirs on. Take care of yourself. If you're able to physically and mentally take care of yourself, it's going to be so much easier to help your children.
I would add, I have children with disabilities. So they're adults with disabilities, and their experience has probably been different from many. One of them is an essential worker, and so is working full time. And that has been a godsend to be able to keep working. We all know that. When we can be busy and productive, that's huge. There are a lot of people who are isolated as a result of COVID-19, especially those with disabilities. So I think we hear it again and again, but remember the people in your lives who may be experiencing more isolation than usual, and hold them close when you can, stay in touch with them, and be aware that this can be affecting people with disabilities differently. So my heart goes out to the families with kids with challenges who are not getting respite, who are not getting the usual supportive help with the families and the individuals, because services have been sporadic due to the COVID restrictions. So really be aware and know that this has been an exceptionally challenging time for families with children with disabilities. And if anyone has any way to provide extra support to those we know or family members or neighbors, to be aware and be especially attentive to any ways that extra support can be provided for those families.
De Stequa describes the project as well received and is very grateful for the help the COVID-19 task force received from the community. The Mount Allison bookstore was able to purchase the teddy bears for them, which were then prepared by PedVac in Port Elgin. On top of that, De Stequa credits the Sackville Hospital, Sackville Memorial Foundation, Christmas Cheer, the Mount A Students Union, Atlantic Windows, the Guardian and Corner Drugstore, and the Rotary Club for all of their help. If there's one positive thing that has come from the pandemic, she says, it's the trust and coming together of the local community.
Without those key partners, we would simply not have been able to do this. So thank you to them. And it was such a, not that it was easy, fundraising is never easy, but that it was really the level of trust. You know, these groups knew us, they knew the different projects we had done in the past. I'm not going to start listing them now, but there's so many. So they've seen the work that all of the nonprofits and community groups and faith communities and businesses have done through throughout the pandemic, and not coordinated by the task force, but certainly informed by the task force in our meetings. And so it's beautiful to see. It was just, oh yeah, no, this is what the task force is doing. It, this is great. And, you know, and here you go. Had it not been for all of these meetings we've all sat in for months, you know, it would have been harder to get buy-in. But there is a level of trust. You know, there are good things that have come from COVID. And one of them is that people are speaking to each other and have had to rely on each other. And when we rely on each other, there's a level of trust that builds. So we're pretty happy.
One of those happy kids is Emmett Eisner, a fourth grader at Salem Elementary. Here's Emmett talking about his bear with his mom, CHMA's own Erica Butler.
His card has a little breathing exercise on it. It just says, well, it says, smell the rose for 1, 2, 3, hold your breath for 1, 2, 3, and blow out the candle for 1, 2, 3.
And what's the point of that?
It's to just calm you down if you're feeling stressed or angry. It says on the, it says in bubble letters, comfort bear, for you, from our community. This breathing triangle can help you feel better on hard days. Run your finger slowly around the triangle. Breathe in, hold, then out until you feel more calm.
And how did you feel when you got the bear?
I felt like, he's so cute, he's so fuzzy, and his name will be Ronald McSkittlesbutt.
Pictures of happy kids with their bears are available on chmafm.com under Community News. For any children who need to talk to somebody, call Kids Help Phone at 1-800-668-6868.